professor of jurisprudence at the Ono Academic College. Professor Zweck is also a senior researcher at the Von Liebig Institute in Jerusalem. Among his publications, we might note his book, Kant's Struggle for Autonomy on the Structure of Practical Reason, came out in 2023, and numerous articles, among them War and Self-Defense, Reflections on the War in Gaza, published in Analysis and Critique, Zionism and Political Theology, which was published in the journal Political Theology, and The Tyranny of Truth and the Tyranny of Opinion, Thinking with Hannah Arendt, which was published in Theoretical Inquiries in Law. And today he will be speaking about what is wrong with the Jewish state.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
I think we can get enough time for that.
Thank you, Yaakov, for this invitation. I'd like to thank the audience for bothering to come out in this lovely day and to attend this talk, which for many might sound completely, I would say, probably irrelevant or redundant, given the fact that what's wrong with the Jewish state? Just look at it and you'd see what's wrong. They're just waging a total war against Gaza. The criminal court thinks at least they're a prima facie case for genocide. I mean, that's in itself is good enough to say that there are so many things that are wrong with the Jewish state. So probably this question might sound too easy these days, but I think this question will persist. And I think we will continue to live with this question for a while. And in recent years, probably the last 30 years, there's been ongoing debate on Jewish and democratic state and how they can live together, and if there's a contradiction between the terms, and if the Jewish state is a special case, in what sense it's a special case, etc. And I started to think about all these questions, of course, long before this war. So my arguments that I want to lay out, I try to cover a certain scope that goes beyond the war. Because I think if we concentrate on the war or even on the occupation, we miss something in the conversation. And I want to give an overall sort of argument, what's wrong with the Jewish state. In part, I want to say what probably the arguments that people associate that are wrong with the Jewish state, I want to claim that probably they are not as wrong as most people think. So probably in part, this for some of you might sound like a defense of the idea of the Jewish state. So to prepare the ground, I want to start with actually saying something of making sense of the idea of Jewish state. I mean, and only after that I want to move to make my argument clear what's still wrong. And I think I'm trying to pin down something that would allow us to give a vantage point on looking at Israel, that allow us to connect things that on the everyday we don't connect. Of course, some of us do. I'm not that original. Like, for example, what's the relation between the overall, judicial overall, and the discussions about Israel constitutionalism, Israel democracy that 3 years ago we have witnessed, and the genocide in Gaza? Are these two events completely separate? Is there a relation between them? And I'm trying to give a analysis that allows us actually to see how the internal and the external are connected. How the question of occupation and democracy are connected. How question of settlements and judicial review somehow connected. So let me start by trying to make sense of the idea of the Jewish state, and I would state it up front, I mean, why not? All people have right to self-determination, and why not the Jews? I mean, and this is the usual claim that most actually Israel embassies or Jewish intellectuals or Zionist left liberals make the argument that why not? I mean, all people, all nations have the right to self-determination. Why when it comes to the Jews, it's all of the sudden, it's stands out. Isn't that still a residue of anti-Semitism, that what is allowed for all other nations is not allowed or permitted for the Jews? I mean, why they should be signaled out? I think this is an argument one should face head on. It's not that question that you can brush from the table. Nor arguments that probably were valid 200 years ago, that the Jews are scattered all around the world, they don't speak one language, etc., etc., so they don't constitute a people. Now there are millions of them speaking the same language, living over the same piece of land. So the weight of the argument of the right of self-determination, if it was weak in the 19th century, probably now it's far more strong. So starting from this basic point, I think one should start the conversation. Why not? Now, clearly, one can easily try to challenge this argument. One is, let's say, the cultural argument, that the Jewish state is by its very name, it conflates culture with the state, and the modern state qua state, the state as a state, is based on the idea that the state is an entity, that it's separate from the cultural groups that inhabits the state. The state is not a cultural organization. It abstracts citizens from their immediate particular identities and merges them into the public sphere as citizens, abstracted from their particularities. State qua state is a state. It's not this or that state. So one can argue that probably that's the problem with the Jewish state, that it actually doesn't recognize itself qua state. And second, that the prominence of religion, because Judaism is not only ethnicity, it's also a religion, and putting also religion, the state with a certain religion, associated with a certain religion, promoting the interest of a certain religious group, also stands against the mere concept of the modern state, or at least the modern post-French Revolution state that is based on the idea of citizenship. And we meet each other in the public sphere as abstract citizens, as the commodities meet each other abstracted from their particular qualities. They just meet each other in the market in a way that they can exchange with each other. And money has no color, as the citizens bears no religion. So the idea of putting citizenship and Jewishness either in the national cultural ethnic terms or in the religious terms stands in contradiction to the modern state as we know it, as a space where people can meet as equals in the public sphere as equal citizens. Now, I don't want to underestimate this argument. I think it is a valid argument, but I want to qualify it. I want to play the Zionist sort of card in this sense. And argue something like the following. And by making the following argument, I want to describe what I'm doing as well. Before I lay the argument, I think Israel, the existence of Israel, Zionism itself, is a scandal for modernity, for enlightenment, for Europe, for the whole project of the modern post-French revolution of enlightenment. In what sense it's a scandal? Because if you look at Israel, you can see lots of the ills, defects, problems that are facing Europe, the US, the Western world, but somehow remain hidden somehow. In Israel, all of them are on the surface. So colonialism and liberalism. So this country is liberal in London, but colonial in India. But these are two remote places, and the liberal side somehow can run itself without being polluted by the colonial. Or at least you can tell yourself this story somehow and manage to hide it. Of course, lots of the current literature is exactly about saying that colonialism and liberalism are pretty much imbricated. But you need the sort of full-time professors to do that. In the sense, you have to connect what seems to be not necessarily connected. Or let's take rule and exception. Constitutional democracies at the West, the US, England, France, these are constitutional in the broad sense of what constitutional. There are rules, there's the rule of law. You rarely see the moment of exception. But here comes September 11 in the US, and all of a sudden the exception is prevailing. The exception is actually devouring the whole system, and all of a sudden you have Guantanamo Bay. Look at what Trump is doing. He just bypassing the Constitution just like that, and professors of law just almost say nothing, as if. So the moment of emergency, even in Western countries, it never disappears, the idea of emergency, of exception, of non-ideal situations, speaking language of philosophy. But again, you need sort of full-time law professors to argue, or you need the Agamben to come and say, look guys, the exception is the base, rule of law is the superstructure. Anytime the real base can devour the whole system, and the exception might become the rule. But only every day, most students think America is a constitutional country, France, England. Now in Israel, the exception is on the surface of everything. The state of emergency is ongoing state of emergency since the beginning, since the establishment of the state. And the occupation is not in India, it's just 5 minutes from the capital of Israel, from Jerusalem. So what Europe tries to hide, in one sense, in Israel is just on the surface of it. That modernity is not just liberalism, constitutionalism. No, modernity is liberalism, constitutionalism, human rights, occupation, emergency, oppression, you name it. They just come ready-made for you to see in Israel. So in this sense, Israel is a laboratory of thinking the modern. And that's, I'm describing what I'll be doing now by defending Israel by saying, You're telling us that our state is Jewish, doesn't separate religion from state, that the state has a cultural nature to it that is committed to one group. Guys, are you serious? When was the last time that you've listened to American politician? You have the head of a American president all the time speaking the language of religion. It's not that we have in God we trust on our US dollar. It's not that we're speaking, we didn't invent the language of messianism or you name it. And look at Europe. How many parties in Europe have the name Christian in the title of the name of their political parties? We didn't invent all of that. We're just part of a tradition, guys. It's just probably we didn't manage to do it well. And culture? What people are taught in France, they're not taught Ibn Sina or Al-Ghazali or Ibn Khaldun. They read Voltaire, they read Victor Hugo, they read the French literature. And you don't speak mathematics in schools or other universities. You speak French. So French is universal and Hebrew is particular. Why is that? To be is to be in a certain way. Culture is not something that is imposed on a certain society or state. That's the way. To be is to be in a certain way. That is to be, and to be cultural is one and the same. These are not two different things. So culture is everywhere. And the whole distinction between, let's say, the German model and the French model is, at the end of the day, it's a little bit delusional. Because the German model, it's true that the ethno-cultural precedes the state, unlike the French, where sort of the state is first and then comes the nation, the cultural nation. But the two systems, at the end of the day, aim in creating certain homogeneity. So the culture meets that everything that is foreign is sort of pushed to the side. Now we, Israel, came too late in history. That's bad luck. But we're lagging 100, 200 years beyond Europe, but that's not completely different project, guys, from what you're doing or what you did. Race? Did we invent race as a category? Guys, are you serious, guys? Look at America and the rules they make to distinguish themselves from Native Americans. Not to speak about race rules in Europe, in racism, and etc. So we invent nothing, and actually, we're just continuing a certain tradition. Probably we overstate the relation, let's say, between ethnicity and... Now, of course, there's some logic to that. I don't buy that completely. I think one can make clear distinctions showing that this doesn't work completely, but one should acknowledge the terms of the debate that Israel is in many ways stands on in continuation of a certain European Western tradition, take it to the limit, etc. I can answer all these arguments against Israel, but I leave that to some other event. And I think that one can witness a certain Israelization of international politics. Not that Israel is by definition doing that, But Israel is trying to perpetuate, let's say, the disbelief in emancipatory humanism, that the idea of the universal, it's not even a good dream. It's not even a noble dream. This is a sentence from Herzl, Jewish State. He says, humanity is not even a noble dream. And Israel sometimes is being used as the paradigm in Europe. So in order to perpetuate itself as a Jewish state, they tell the European, you can make Europe a Christian civilization. So we're setting the precedence for you guys. So I'm saying all of that in order to say that if one wants to critique Israel, one need not by definition distort all of historical facts in order to condemn Israel. There's enough bad things Israel did and doing that we do not need to twist our intellectual conceptual frameworks in order to condemn Israel, to say what's wrong with Israel. And here I want to move to say what I think is wrong with Israel. After this sort of sort, trying to make sense from the Israeli state. In that sense, putting Israel, though hardly, though with lots of work, lots of twists, into a paradigm. It's not that Israel completely outside of the paradigm. In order to condemn Israel, we don't have to look at Israel as if they were completely a state with a loida, something written on their faces, the Israelis. No, they're not. They're part of a paradigm. You can be part of a paradigm and still could be completely condemned. So what is the thesis that I want to advance here and speaking about Israel and to try to pin down what is the problem? So to speak about Israel, that it has a Jewish culture, I have no problem as a Palestinian. I have no problem with the Jewishness of the state in terms of the holidays are Jewish. I mean, I prefer the public sphere as much as possible to be neutral, but that's not a disaster. Or that the Hebrew is a official language, or that you study Hebrew literature. Of course, that's something that by the nature of things happens. So I think moving the debate to these areas, both by some critics of Israel, I think makes the life of lots of defenders of Zionism easy. Because they can say, in what sense we're different? Can you exactly, I mean, I can, there are things that are exceptional, but I don't want to stress them. Because I want to move the discussion to completely another domain. And for that reason, there has been lots of effort on the part mainly of liberal Zionists, because right-wing Zionists don't make much effort because for them, Jewish state is Jewish state. We don't have to pay even lip service to prove that it's democratic. But liberal lefty Zionists put much effort to try to reconcile the Jewish nature of the state with its democratic argument. There's no contradiction. And much of anti-Zionists, among them Palestinian, but also non-Palestinian, amongst them some of a Jewish non-Zionist or anti-Zionist, put much effort in order to show that there's a contradiction between the state being Jewish and being democratic. And here I want to sort of intervene and to shift the debate. This is not interesting. This is not interesting in the following sense, because the language of contradiction, I think it's simply mischaracterized situation. You speak about contradiction mainly if there's logical contradiction. For example, you can't be a bachelor and married at the same time. It's just contradiction in term. Or to have a triangle that have four lines. I mean, this is... But in politics, you have tensions. And tensions are different from contradiction, because contradiction is there's excluded middle. It's either or. But in tensions, two things can live at the same time, but each of them is pulling to different direction. And you find that not only with Jewish and democratic. You find that even within democratic ideals themselves. Take liberty and equality. There is tension. But we feel that we're committed to both values. So one can say, I'm committed to democratic and Jewish. But there's tension in that. Now, and here's a footnote. One can intervene and say, sorry, Ra'ef, but Jewish, you can't compare it to equality, because Jewish is particular by definition, and equality applies to all. I buy that. I buy that this qualification, that there's something in the nature, but that moves the whole debate to completely different sphere about the nature of the competing values, not the fact that there is tension. So I want to take the idea of tension that when we speak about Jewish and democratic, I do subscribe to the idea that there are tensions like so many other values that we want to cherish and we commit ourselves to. So that's a bad direction to conduct the debate. And the liberal Zionists celebrate too early when they think, there is no contradiction. And the non or anti-Zionists celebrate too early when they think that there is a contradiction. So then what I do want to say then, I want to say the following, that the problem between Jewish and democratic is not that there is an impossibility, or let's put it other way. The existence of Jewish and democratic at the same time, it is possible. Logically, it is possible. If the Jewish state were established in Antarctica and all the inhabitants were Jews, one can characterize it that given that all people are Jewish, they can run their institution in a democratic way. And the mere fact that I can show even one case that it's possible, that means that it is logically possible. So the logical path, I think, should be abandoned. The problem is not that it is logically possible, because I think it is logically possible. And in order to explain what I want to emphasize, I want to make a distinction that I invented between something that is logically possible and something that is really possible. Something is logically possible, like Kant sees in the Critique of Pure Reason. It's enough that I show that freedom is not impossible. So it's a negative characterization. If I show that freedom is not impossible, then freedom is possible. Logically, it's possible. But that doesn't show the reality of freedom. For that, he needed to write another whole book in order to show that freedom could be real, not only logically possible, but in reality, it could be possible. And that's the path that I want to take. The path is that I want to take is that the idea of the Jewish state is problematic, not simply discussing it in theory. Because if you discuss it in theory, you already lost the debate. Because if you're European at the end of the 19th century and you have a sense of injustice and you feel Jews are mistreated, persecuted, pogroms in East Europe, then it's not strange for you to say, okay, then we have to find a solution for this problem. Probably part of the solution is to establish a Jewish state. Logically, that can work. Now, where it becomes disaster, historically. Historically, given the fact on the ground that you're deciding to establish this Jewish homeland in a land populated by Palestinians, they are building their national project like all other people in the third world at the beginning of the 20th century, and you want to turn them into minority in their homeland. You want to come as a settler project to dominate them, not to say to eliminate them, at least to dominate them, to create a certain Jewish majority. You come with your own nomos, with your own law, with your own institution, with your own geography, with your own political imagination, with your own history of the land, and won't you want to transform the whole landscape and the whole regime. Here's the problem. We shouldn't speak logically. We shouldn't solve problems in history by resorting to logic. We should think about political problems in political, historical, concrete terms. If you ask the question now, is Jewish democratic project such a project possible in Palestine in the beginning of the 20th century, then the problems comes from reality, not from the mind. Then you have to answer, then how shall I do that? How that is doable? And I think most of the debates should go there. And in order to illuminate my argument, to do this shift in thinking, what I suggest is the following. Instead of asking the possibility of Jewish democratic state, to change the vocabulary. Not to ask if it's a Jewish, but if it's Zionist. And by Zionist, I mainly mean that it's a settler project that wants to create a national project by settlements means, by means of settlements. So it's a combination of national and settlement project that aims to transform the whole nomos of the land and to create their own laws, their own society. So I suggest to transform the question of Jewish state to Zionist state. And Zionist, you can add in brackets, settler state. And instead of asking a Jewish democratic, we should ask Zionist liberal. Because now we got confused a little bit, or it's just a historical development where actually two historically different traditions of thoughts of democracy and liberalism at one point created a certain coalition and created liberal democracy. But historically, these are two trends. Democracy is the demos, decides, participates. The authority lies in the demos. Liberalism is actually the intellectual attempt to put limit on the power of the demos. That it's not everything for grab. There are few spheres of autonomy, of rights for the person that actually even the majority cannot decide. So there's a tension between liberalism and democracy. If we unpack liberal democracy to its constitutive elements and we see the democratic element in its own, then actually we might discover that democracy and nationalism, they're not in opposition. Actually, Democracy is another name for nationalism, and nationalism is another name for democracy. When democracy is stripped of its liberal constitutive element that puts limit on the power of the majority, then democracy is the rule of the people. And the rule of the people is nationalism. In that sense, some of the nationalist thinkers who think that actually nationalism is democracy, they have a point, because nationalism presumes a certain homogeneity that actually collapses the hierarchy between aristocracy, etc., and creates one homogeneous whole. And that explains actually why in Israel now the debates about the judicial overall, the rising right-wing populism, is deploying the language of democracy, because democracies have been stripped from its liberal component. And they said, we are the Democrats, guys. We want the majority to decide. We are the Democrats. You are aristocrats in the opposition. You want the judges to decide, or the university professors to decide. We are the tradition of democracy. And you see how democracy is being liberal democracy, when it dissolves into these elements, then one can easily reconcile the Jewish and the democratic. Because the Jewish and the democratic feeds into each other. They don't contradict each other. They're not in tension with each other. Furthermore, the rule of the majority, the Jews are majority, then the Palestinian minority should accept the decision of the Jews, because the Jews are majority. So to be subject to the rule of the Jews is at the same time to be subject to accept the democratic rules. That's why I think we should shift the terminology itself, and we should ask not if Jewish and democratic can reside together or if there's tension between them, but we should think if a Zionist settler project, one can commit himself to such a project and commit himself to liberal ideas at the same time. Now, the third element is a state, because usually the debate is Jewish democratic state. And given that Israel had never declared where are its borders, and given that it reestablishes itself every other year, and its war of independence is never lasting, even this last war, it's a war of independence. And given that the frontiers are always expanding, that is, it's an ongoing settlement project, then why to call it a state? It's a movement. It's a project. So instead of asking questions about Jewish democratic state, I think we should think about different vocabulary of liberal Zionist movement, and then see if these can live together in a certain historical political context, not just also in the abstract, to see how that is going on in reality. Now, this formulation allows us, I think, until now I didn't speak nor about the status of the Palestinians in Israel nor in the West Bank, not about the internal constitutional politics nor about the question of the occupation of the West Bank or in Gaza. Because I think the entry that I'm suggesting allows us to see that actually the question of the internal and the external, the question of the nature of the state as constitutional liberal democracy, and the question, the external question of occupation, the ongoing occupation, are not completely two different questions. They are, in many ways, two different manifestations of the way this movement manages its domination in the two different sides of the Green Line. That doesn't mean that there's no difference. Of course, it manages itself in different ways. But the idea is to try to connect these two and start to ask questions. For example, can Israel continue to hold the occupied territories to practice its policy in the West Bank and in Gaza and return to be, as many sort of center leftist liberals think, in Israel, complete rule of law, but in the West Bank, it's lawless? Why the same regime wants to have a schizophrenic nature where in the inside, it's bounded by rules and principles and human rights, but at the same time, in the West Bank and in Gaza, not only in West Bank, in Gaza, in general, it's completely lawless. I don't want to give a clear, sharp answer. I want to believe that it's difficult to maintain that, but I don't know exactly where this belief stems from. If this is my only just a matter of belief, or it's based on historical facts. Because in history, and this is my whole debate with my fellow committed, good-hearted, liberal, and Marxist, and Kantians, is that equality couldn't be divided. The human values couldn't be divided. Oh my God, it has been always been divided. John Locke writes about liberty and having slaves. The Americans having free elections and you have Jim Crow. It's the human history. It's the history of division of values. And I don't know when Kant says, if you do injustice in one part of the world, the other part of the world would hear the injustice. Or Marx, it's attributed to Marx, but it's actually to Engels when he says that one nation that occupying other nation itself, it can't be free. Come on, guys, are you serious? Sometimes you can be free. Some other times you can't be free. But still, I want to believe that in the case of Israel, this division is becoming untenable, not as an axiomic, a historical, a priori statement, but as a statement that tries to describe the political sociology of Israel that shows that probably in England, you could be liberal in England and far away in India. But in Israel, it seems to be that it's becoming very difficult to hold these two together. So let me wrap up and say that I think what I'm trying to propose is to be more political and more historical and to think not in terms of logic when it comes to Israel, but to think in terms of politics. The problem with the Jewish state, that violence is built into the project. The depopulation of the Palestinian, the elimination of the Palestinian, the domination of the Palestinian, sometimes the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian, and sometimes the genocide of the Palestinian, is already somehow written in between the lines. Not logically, but as a matter of historical fact. Probably if the Palestinians were just 100 people over Palestine, the whole picture would be different. Had the Jews came, all of them, to Palestine and created massive majority of 15 million Jews versus 1 million Palestinians, probably the issue wouldn't have. I will stop here, I think.
Recording has stopped. The conversation is open. The floor is open.